Greetings, nerds. This is Being a Nerd. I'm your host, Sarah Belmont, and with me, as always, is our Mr. Producer, Will Polk. How are you doing tonight, Will?
Doing very well, sir. Happy birthday again. Hope you're doing well, though. I'm glad that I know it's Monday, and I'm glad you're feeling well. So,
I'm. It's Monday. I had a power outage, or not a power outage, internet outage, which is basically a power outage. Let's be honest with us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it is at this day. Yeah, I mean, we can't function without the internet, right?
Half a day, from 5:30 a.m. to noon, no internet, and I was just like, "What?" Look, but that is not why we're here to talk. Because I could go on a 20-minute rant, and there are no segues, so I'm just going to jump into what we are here to talk about tonight. We are here to start things off with the headlines. The Flash movie, that I still don't believe is actually happening, has cast Young and the Restless, Sasha Cal, as Supergirl, and she will be the first Latina in the DCEU.
Yeah. This was post, I guess this happened Friday, I guess. Andy Muschietti, the director of the Flash film, posted on his Instagram a message where he called her to share the great news that she was cast as Supergirl in the Flash film. And of course, this had been teased that Supergirl was going to at some point show up in the DCEU, and wondered if it was going to be a standalone film or as part of another project. And clearly, this is the case. It was of course, Boss Logic did a pretty awesome rendering of her as Supergirl, and then of course you always get the haters who like, oh, she's not blonde, da, da, da. But I think it's pretty awesome. After all, we do have a multiverse, so there's wide space for many people to portray these characters.
Yeah, let's just hope she gets more than one scene, and that scene's not then cut from the movie.
Oh yeah, well, we'll be the shitstorm that was Joss Whedon's Justice League. I think we can all be assured of that.
No, but that's being corrected with a 4-hour movie, not series.
True. But I'm pretty excited about this. I mean, it seems that, like you said, this much rumored film is finally starting to come together. So I think it seems like a lot of potential. And of course, it's going to, be their adaptation to Flashpoint. So of course we'll see, we had the earlier news about Michael Keaton and now Supergirl, and who knows who else will show up in given that they're doing Flashpoint. So
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yep.
And also, DCEU, they're known for their interpretations of classic comic book storylines. They never get it wrong.
Exactly. Well, there's the fandom, theorizing and how they would do it, and then there's the DCEU, and then of course even with Marvel, we think we'll get into later with WandaVision how the executive producers or showrunners will put their own spin on the classic stories.
Right. Speaking about classic stories, John Wesley Shipp returns as the Golden Age Flash on Stargirl.
Yeah.
I'm assuming has begun production on season 2.
Yeah. Actually, I saw he actually posted on his socials, New Adventure Begins, and it was Atlanta. And Stargirl films the series in Atlanta, I think on the same lot as Doom Patrol. So that was news from last week. And he's going to, of course, Jay Garrick Flash was a part of the Justice Society of America. So, and of course, during season 1, we, whenever we did see their Hall of Heroes, when Stargirl was getting all her equipment illegally after, Owen Wilson's character, stripey,
Which
showed her to cave. Yeah. So yeah, we saw like the Alex Ross paintings of all those characters. So yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you said Owen Wilson when you met Luke Wilson.
I met Luke Wilson. Yeah, thanks for the correction there. Yeah, I was like blanking.
I've actually not thought about Stargirl since we stopped covering it.
Yeah, truth be told, I enjoyed the series, but you know, it hasn't been one where I've gone back and rewatched. So,
well, not even thought about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm still holding a torch for Krypton, which was canceled a long time ago. So it's just interesting to me. But those are our headlines, surprisingly. For some reason, Will doesn't want to talk about the Mortal Kombat trailer that was released and all of the blood and the guts and pretty much the Sub-Zero. I feel like they used all of their best bits with him, which makes me nervous for the movie itself, because I feel like they're going all in with Sub-Zero and he's probably going to die very wimpily. So
probably. Well, I didn't put the trailers on there because I know sometimes with trailer talk, you're like, I haven't watched it, or you don't want to get spoiled by the trailer. So
I really don't want to be spoiled by Mortal Kombat. I mean, I only grew up with the franchise and the video game. And yeah. I just feel like it's pretty much on the same level as a Nolan film.
I have to say, I was pretty excited about this trailer. I was, when I first saw another Mortal Kombat film coming out, I was kind of leery. But after seeing the trailer last week, I'm on board. I'm looking forward to this one.
You and a lot of people. I mean, the trailer is badass. Let's call a spade a spade. That is a very well edited, put together trailer that explains to you, when we say R, we mean R.
Mm-hmm.
And the fighting is going to be on par, and how these characters are utilized. But again, I really only saw Sub-Zero do the cool stuff.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. And that's all we need. Yeah. And I was like, okay, go ahead, take my money when I saw that. So.
Yeah. Oh, wait, isn't it going to be on HBO Max?
Yeah. So
money's already taken.
Money's already taken. Yeah. You already have my money.
Will, what is going on in Freeland this week?
Yeah, so Freeland this week, we're at Chapter 2, the Book of Reconstruction, Unacceptable Losses for Black Lightning, and many things are going on in Freeland. Jefferson is completely off the hook as far as just being very, very reckless with using his powers, and to the point where he used them. He was very, I guess he had a restless night, went out on the front porch, and just had a rage lightning storm, and then he just passed out on the porch, and Lynn found him the next morning, and, you know, Gambies warned him not to use the powers without the suit, because, you know, it will damage him. So we had that, and also Jefferson continues to feel very guilty for Henderson's death, and you know, the fallout from all the things that happened in the prior season. So at the end of the episode, he went to one of the gangbangers' home, and again, not in costume, and basically, you know, told him to, you know, stop the violence and stuff. And of course, you know, very reckless. And then the most reckless thing was he and Tobias actually had a showdown in the parking lot. When Tobias was coming from an event, and Jefferson lit him up, but Tobias, with his new serum that he has, is currently can handle Jefferson's attacks. And so, of course, you know, they had some words in the parking lot, and you know, again, Gambi and everyone's like, Jefferson, you're being very reckless. But that was some of the three, you know, as far as Jefferson's antics this episode. Also, continuing the new police chief has acquired directed energy weapons because she is on a meta hunt, and so things aren't safe for meta humans in Freeland anymore. Not that they were before, but You know, there is the police department has upped the ante as far as being able to hunt those individuals down if they fail to register and not use their powers. So that was something that, you know, again, it's a fallout from all the events that's happened earlier in the series. Also, the gangs are back, and Lala, as far as the 100 and Cobra Cartel, has been taken over by Miss Lady Eve's underling. And really, again, how this show really is grounded, and you know, especially where you see the consequences of big epic battles, because in this case, there was a teacher who works in Jefferson's High School. His family. It ended up losing their home after the war in the prior season, and so the 100 and the Cobra Cartel were having a lot of their fights in this area of town of Friedland, where a lot of these people who are now homeless and are living, and sadly a young child was caught in a crossfire. Their car was all shot up. And so Anissa and her friend tried to save the kid, but it was, you know, unfortunately he died. And of course, Jefferson was, you know, very torn up about it when the teacher came to him and talked about his situation. And, you know, not only did he lose his son to the violence, but then Child Protective Services took his kid, his remaining children away because they don't have a home. So, you know, it was again, just, you know, showing, you know, a lot of the times in these, when we have these superhero shows and stuff, you know, you see all this damage happen, but you don't see the collateral damage of the civilian population. So really, this week in Black Lightning, they really touched on some of that this week. So there was that. And then the last point is Lynn is continuing to dabble with various serums and trying to help Anissa and Jennifer out in the streets, but the girls are like, "Mom, you're getting in the way and you need to stop. You know, we've had training. You haven't. Stay in your lane." And even mm-hmm. Jefferson was warning her of the same, like, stay in, Lynn, you don't need to be doing this. And I thought, you know, and just from an analysis standpoint, I agree. I think I liked about Lynn was that she wasn't a meta. And she was always using her brains and exceptional talents there to help resolve issues instead of, you know, we have plenty of metas on this show. And I thought about Cecile on The Flash as well. I mean, where I like Cecile Horton on The Flash was when she was just a normal lawyer, a normal person helping the rest of the team. We didn't need to add another meta. And I feel the same way with Lynn as well. So hopefully the talk that the kids and Jefferson had with her will come, you know, will make her rethink the next time she wants to dabble in the serum. So, yeah, so Black Lightning, you know, it continues to impress. I mean, it really is hitting its stride. And it's just unfortunate that it's this last season. But so far, I know it's only two episodes in, but if they continue to have this solid writing like they're having now, they'll go out with a strong finish.
Well, that's good to know. We always say it every time we talk about Black Lightning. It's the last season, but it's better off to not kill the show by having a too long of a run. But mm-hmm. it also sucks when it almost feels like it ended too soon. It was just at its peak.
Yeah.
Moving on to Gotham, where we get some Ryan action. As she, we finally get an episode where it kind of felt very cohesive, much more than recent episodes, mm-hmm. I would say. Not my favorite episode this season. I think overall, I kind of still left a bit underwhelmed just because I felt like last season with the episodes. And maybe I'm also just looking at it from the second half of the season as opposed to the first half.
Yeah.
Which we know writing tends to be stronger in that second half.
Mm-hmm.
That I just felt like this was kind of, okay, let's make sure the audience knows that Ryan knows about Sophia. is a part of the team. Let's maybe have some movement forward with her and Luke, and then two steps back. And yeah, everybody's tracing down Corinna, or however you want to pronounce that island, the map to the island. And so it's all about Jack Napier and the painting and everything. But what were your thoughts about this week's episode?
I liked this episode this week, actually. I did have a question for you, especially given your thoughts. The one thing I'm finding this season is I'm finding Alice is a less interesting character for me. Just because, and I know they're trying to integrate the two, you know, her storyline and, of course, obviously being Kate's sister. But I don't know. It's just this week. I agree with you that it felt like a more cohesive story because, because with the Napier painting being tied to, the map to Corinna to be able to hopefully rest, maybe find Kate. All the pieces seem to fit a lot better, unlike last week's episode where it felt like we were really in two episodes within one.
Right.
But I don't know. It's just something about the way, I don't know if it's like underplaying Alice or what, but I don't know. I'm just not feeling it this season. And then the story with Ocean and the flashbacks and the repressed memories, it just feels like they're searching for a purpose for continuing this character on the show when they when they're trying to establish Ryan as a new Batwoman.
I think Alice is still interesting to me, mm-hmm. but I completely understand all of your points. And I think the difference between Alice season one and Alice season two is they told Alice's origin story in such a way that allowed her to be the villain in present day. Mm-hmm. And there was still like this semblance, especially because of Kate, of pity and sympathy, like, oh, well, she got captured. She was raised. She was forgotten about, abandonment and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And as viewers, we're shown everything through Kate's perspective. So we saw, well, Kate wants to redeem Alice. Kate wants her sister. And they did that really well with the multiverse whole scenario that it played out. Yeah. And I think, I don't think that it's because we have Ryan instead of Kate that the main problem is. I think, especially in this episode, it stuck out that now they introduce this past love
mm-hmm.
of Alice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I have rolled my eyes at this. Alice is a villain. She doesn't need freaking Prince Charming. Especially when he looks and sounds like that. Okay?
Yeah.
No, I don't want... No.
I was like crushing on Ocean.
We need a somebody who she should be... Like, we need the version of Jack Napier and them having a fling. That makes a lot more sense to make sure that Alice needs to be devious, and I'll be honest, the thing that bothers me most about the Sophia storyline is, oh my God, is it ever season three of Arrow? And it just, it's too familiar for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Way too familiar with all of the tropes and the beats. And now we got a forgotten love affair, very much like Sarah and Nyssa. So it's just, I don't know.
I've seen that criticism of that, especially whenever we first got the Sophia story. It was like there were a lot of, I saw a lot of Arrow comparisons made, like you're doing as well. Because it yeah. But I mean, but you know, so that yes, that was my as far as the Alice storyline this week. That's something, and it may, it, you know, and of course the way the episode ended and tying it back to the Napier painting. Okay, we get it. So we see the purpose now for teaming Ocean and Alice together, and to the larger mystery that everyone is trying to solve, which is what happened to Kate. So that works. I do feel this week was probably one of the Sophie's best outings in the series.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That Sophie, they have some good setup going on with Sophie and Ryan. Mm-hmm. That I like.
Yeah.
And I hope they don't rush it. I hope they let it slow. I like that Ryan is against the crows. It makes that very clear.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that fact that she's the only one who I can't wait for her to say, you know, yeah, Kate's missing, guys, but we still have an entire city to protect.
Yeah.
So what are we really doing here? What's really our mission? Because I didn't just sign up to fill in. And by filling in, it means we have to chase down all of these leads to find Kate. Like, I'm here to protect the streets. So yeah. I wonder if they're going to go there eventually. Hopefully they do. But more so than last season, the animosity, I think, is more honest mm-hmm. between Batwoman and the crows.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. I mean, you know, all crows are bastards. And I think there are the obvious references to real world with Black Lives Matter and just general police misconduct. And in this episode, we saw many examples of the crows abusing their authority. Jacob, you know, torturing the guy who Batwoman had captured. And of course, when they run down Wolf Spider, Evan.
Mm-hmm.
And to your point, as far as how they really are setting it up, and I hope they do continue this. We got some early indications of it in the first few episodes when we had the flashback with Ryan and Sophie. And actually even current interaction with them whenever she was being questioned about, you know, that deep hatred. They were sowing the seeds up. They were showing that was there. And now, given that Ryan is Batwoman and having to work with the crows, that conflict, again, you couldn't really have that with Kate. I mean, you had it for different reasons, but now it's like, you know, obviously the animosities because of the corruption and Ryan wanted to basically to take the crews down.
Mm-hmm.
And really stuck out with me was, you know, whenever Sophie tossed the two badges of the individuals who ran down Wolf Spider. She's like, that's not enough. I mean, you know, that's just okay, fine. But what are you willing to do, Sophie? What are you willing to do as someone on the inside who sees this corruption every single day, who, you know, and now Ryan knows that, and also like thinking about Luke as well. I mean, the crows are framed an innocent man for killing Lucius's murder.
Yep.
So what are all you people doing?
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Are y'all so bent on upholding a system that's so corrupt? So I really like that angle of the story that they're telling this season, and really hope they, like you said, they don't rush it through. I mean, they could really build that into something really nice storyline as we, of course, deal with the mystery of Kate.
Yeah. I hope that this whole painting goes somewhere. Because they, at this rate, I feel like every episode is about a painting. And I thought we finally put an end to it. And then they're like, no, that was a fake.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, this... Okay,
yeah.
There better be a big payoff. Because they, especially assigning it to having the Jack Nabear... alias joke with the Joker alias and that tie in it, there needs to be a payoff for that. They put way too much storyline into it for there not to be.
Yeah.
And also this whole bullet scar from the Kryptonian bullet, mm-hmm. in case you'd forgotten, she had gotten shot with a Kryptonian bullet and it's been in, and she's infected yep. with what we don't entirely know.
I think it's poisoning. I mean, I think if I recall, didn't we see this maybe in Supergirl or I've seen it in other mediums where people have been, where humans have been, you know, impacted yeah. by kryptonite and they, you know, get kryptonite poisoning.
Well, I don't know. I didn't pay that too much attention to Supergirl. I just know that Supergirl gets infected.
Right, right.
But we'll see where that goes, because that's another beat that is slowly being brought up again mm-hmm. and again and again. But with these, I think last year I recalled like 1-2 punch. And mm-hmm. this season so far, it's been one, 1.5. And I'm just like, okay, Carolyn, let's wrap it up. Where's your pace with some of these plot points?
Yeah. Well, I think they, you know, as you brought up the painting and we talked about earlier with Alice and Ocean and how the episode ended with, you know, given that the one that was at the collective party was a forgery and Ocean and Alice have the actual map, and clearly Sophia has a grander scheme at play here, where they've had their memories repressed of their prior relationship. So how that all ties into to the painting and the map and to the Joker, with Kate's disappearance, I think we'll get those. I think we get a little morsel of information each episode as we move forward. And also what I did like this week was, yes, the Kate's disappearance was, you know, obviously hanging over, but I felt like it wasn't one of the clear driving points of the episode. It didn't feel like it was taking up all the oxygen in the room this week. I mean, there were other, it felt like, for example, the things we talked about with Sophie and Ryan and the choices that, you know, that Ryan had to make to work with the Crows and of course Luke and Mary, as far as like calling the shots. And then Ryan's just like, after the end of the episode, like, look, I did it your way and look what it got us. So now if I'm going to be wearing this suit, I'm calling the shots. I like the evolution of Ryan. And then of course her relationship with her old girlfriend, Angelique. Yeah. And again, how we talked about how her Angelique's and Victor Zhao and Brian, you know, having a good understanding of the Gotham underworld, is an asset for her. As Batwoman. So I think there's, you know, there are a lot of little threads that are out there. Hopefully I've enjoyed the series enough this season. And like you said, to your point about the second half of last season, where the writing definitely got stronger. And I feel like overall the writing for the most part has been pretty strong this season. So I'm hopeful that all those various threads will come together in a cohesive arc for the season.
right. And on that note, let's talk some Wanda minus Vision, or plus Vision, however you want to interpret this week's episode. It was Agatha all along, and that's it for WandaVision talk.
I saw a tweet. It was like, intro, filler. This twist, filler. But I thought that was a bit harsh. I joked with you, and I joked to send you a tweet this weekend. I joked with you about, yeah, I'm eating my words about this series, and I am. I thought it was a good kickoff for the third act of the series. Even though everyone agreed it was Agatha all along, but I don't think that's the end. Clearly, that's not the end all as far as her being the true big bad. I mean, so.
I think this episode is really hard to talk about because all of the really obvious criticism has already been said and is so obvious. Mm-hmm. We all knew Agatha about that reveal, and it was just timing.
Yeah.
And also coming out of last week's episode where there was that moment of Wanda expanding her powers and then pulling Vision back into the bubble. They had to do this episode where it was almost like a fishbowl of Wanda in a way, in an ironic way, trapped in her own mind, trying to be like, comprehend what she did, what is actually happening. And as everything around her slowly kind of unravels, and she's without Vision during this episode. And my favorite moment of the freaking entire episode was when they just deadpan to Vision and he's just like, I'm not amused. I feel like whoever was the mastermind of this episode, they had that single frame in their mind and they just had to figure out a way to pull it off, because that was just Paul Bettany, give him an Emmy just for the delivery of that line.
that was definitely the standout. And I haven't heard anybody and like point that out, but you're right. That was the most, they had that. They were in the coffee shop somewhere and they,
stoplight.
I'm saying the writer who came up with this.
I'm not amused. I love that. So I understand in the scheme of things, it's very similar to the first two episodes where everyone is kind of scratching their head like, okay, I hope it kind of picks up the pace here. And you're right. I mean, it was Agatha all along, but there's so much more.
because to pick up the point of Vision, I mean, you know, every time that he and Darcy were trying to come back into town, there was always some impediment. There was the kids, the crossing, there was a stop. I mean, there was so many things happening. And finally, he was just like, oh, wait a minute, I'm Vision. I can just fly out of here.
Right.
But, you know, so was that Wanda? Was that Agatha? Or was that some other, the other true big bad in the story here? Because even though it's Agatha all along, so there's a couple ways you could look at this. I mean, you could look at it from the standpoint of Agatha in the comics. She helped Wanda learn how to harness and use her powers. So on the one hand, and become the Scarlet, become the Scarlet Witch. So on the one hand, I'm kind of like, well, is Agatha's purpose malevolent or is it benevolent? In that she, you know, what's her true motivation here? Now, clearly with the boys, you know, going, you know, watching Tommy and Billy and taking him to the house, and then, which I, you know, love the Yo Gabba Gabba referenced, you know, watching TV. I was just like, okay, that brought back some memories for me. I was just talking about that show recently with my kids, but you know, that was, you know, so, you know, we look at the malevolent aspect of it, you know, it is taking them away and to finally break her and to really unleash the Scarlet Witch. But at the same time, you know, they were also, you know, they this needed to have, you know, they took things there. You know, we know they'll come back as Wiccan and Speed. So clearly that this plot point did have to happen in order for that to come to fruition with them, because we got teased with that in an earlier episode when they started with the Spectacular, where, you know, they were, Speed was able to, you know, be like his uncle Quicksilver. And then the other thing as far as Quicksilver too is like, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm just like, well, are you going to give me any time to jump in, or are you just going to model? Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I will hush now. I was just in the stream of consciousness, and
I'm just gonna make one note about Quicksilver. I did not realize there was an end credit scene. Apparently, it was Agatha all along, and she, in a way, or I guess, is mind controlling him, or is in control of Quicksilver. But you go back to your stream of consciousness.
Yeah, actually, that was a good sec. I'm glad you did. That was. I'm glad you broke me up there, because it gets me to where I was about to go. No, it leads right to where I was about to go about Quicksilver, which was, did Agatha conjure the X-Men Evan Peters version? I mean, that really, it really is him, because I mean, some people are like, is he an imposter or not? And maybe he's not. Maybe she just conjured him to, from the X-Men universe over into ours, because I mean, they are, you know, Wanda is a Nexus being, so which, you know, obviously, you know, we get the commercial for that.
Yep, and that's why we're gonna get Jennifer Lawrence.
No,
Storm, because they're gonna switch up the old X-Men identity with Sue Storm, and when really what the world wants is Emily Blunt.
Yeah. But
whatever. We never get what we want in the Blunt family. A theory that you showed me an article earlier this week about the Blue Marvel theory.
Yeah.
The engineer. And I thought that was really interesting and really creative, because the engineer at this point, if they don't deliver us, like if a regular old engineer shows up,
yeah,
there'll be riots.
There will be riots in the street.
Disney shows like subscriptions drop for a week and then quickly return, because, you know, we got to watch Falcon and Winter Soldier. But
exactly.
It's just, I think, to go to our previous discussion about Batwoman, with these little things that get mentioned, oh, you better deliver, because the engineer, everyone is like, it's going to be Reed Richards, and now we got the Blue Marvel theory, and then I think there was another theory. Iron Man always gets thrown out there.
Yep.
But, I'm blanking on her name, Suri from... Mm-hmm. Shuri from Black Panther has also been brought up.
Yep.
And so I think whatever they do, Lord, please let it be something not obvious, like a Blue Marvel. Because with the whole Agatha reveal, you can get one. You can get one where even people like me. No. Okay, it's Agatha. We get it. But you better bring out your surprises. I mean, we got to have those classic MCU. You did not. Wow. And I think we're going to get there. I mean, The sad thing to me is that in this episode, Agatha is the immediate person we talk about, but the sequence with Monica, Photon, I thought was just beautiful because I like how much they integrated Captain Marvel into it without making it overshadow the genesis of Photon.
Yeah, I thought that was, I agree with you, that was well executed because even though it was like, folks, we know there's obviously the Doctor Strange tie-in, but we also know that Monica eventually, she was a Captain Marvel. And so, and then of course she's going by other names, Photon's the one everybody keeps dropping, but, she also was known as Spectrum, and the costume that she was actually wearing is the one that she had adorned as Spectrum. So, but it was, I liked the touches that whenever she was going through the hex and hearing young Monica and hearing Carol and Nick, And so it just really drove home the point that this is a much one to remind us of it's a larger universe at play here, and that WandaVision in some regards is like a true kickoff into the next phase of the MCU, because we have the classic elements from the first three phases. With Ultron, the Infinity Stones, Vision, and all that kind of stuff. But then we got the next phase of heroes like Monica, who's going to be in Captain Marvel 2, and whoever else that will probably show up. That will be the oh shit moment, like, oh, y'all did this, where it will break the internet, unlike the anticipation for this last episode broke Disney Plus. I agree with you. I think it was very well executed and really gives us a good springboard to future stories with this character that we were introduced to as a child in the first Captain Marvel, and we see them becoming the superhero in this series, and then the sky's the limit as far as future Captain Marvel 2 and any other crossovers that they may have in future films.
Yeah, I agree with you. The sky really is the limit, and that's the beauty of Marvel. They've earned that kind of trust. We know you're probably not going to like this, but we also know we're going to deliver what we need. Just when you think we're going to disappoint, we'll surprise you, and we'll make sure that you stick around because we got a lot of Marvel months ahead of us, guys.
Yeah.
This is not only the kickoff of the phase two, but it's just the kickoff of 2021 and all of the Marvel that's in store for us this year, that some of which we should have got last year, but we didn't.
But you're right though. I mean, that's thinking back to the kickoff and thinking about not giving so much away, because everyone was so locked in with the anticipation with this episode that we were going to find out who this engineer is, and then we end up getting a general who gives Monica the means to get into the hex. Well, try to get into the hex, but of course it failed. But of course we get the thing that everyone was like, oh yeah, it's Agatha. But we still what's, to your earlier point, what are we going to get with this engineer, and what's going to be the curveball with this engineer? Is it going to be Blue Marvel, or is it going to be Reed Richards or Professor X, or who knows at this point?
Yeah. Well, I hope Feige knows.
Yeah. Well, of course he does. Okay. And Feige, we trust. Yeah. And Feige, we trust.
The last thing to talk about in this episode is the Nexus commercial, which has big significance. Now, what that significance is and the potential, I feel like I got a crash course this week after this episode dropped about there's this thing called Nexus beans. And which could very well and probably will lead into Kang the Conqueror, which we know is coming in, ironically, Ant-Man.
And of course, Wanda. Scarlet Witch. Merlin.
And the kids, Nexus means potentially. They're dropping a lot of hints about both of the kids' powers and abilities. And so it was Agatha all along. And then I think this is an interesting point. Was it Wanda all along? Is that the person that they're trying to almost imprison or capture? Or is it the kids, the offspring that she has? So... And like what we said before, we know it's more than just Agatha at play here. There are some other people who have just yet to be revealed.
Right. And then there's also the sword aspect. You know, why did they have Vision's body? And
no one cares about mortals. We're sitting here. It was Agatha all along. Yeah, she's powerful, and we're still unsatisfied. And then it's like, well, what about Sword? We care more about Agatha than Sword.
We care more about Agatha. And also with the Nexus, you know, to our earlier point too, not only the Nexus beans, but of course it's the big MacGuffin that Marvel also uses to open up the door to all the multiverses. So, you know, it's a twofold thing. I mean, one will, you know, we'll get these Nexus beings, but we also will get the obvious doorway being open to the multiverse. And, you know, we might already have seen some of that or clearly with Peter and WandaVision, and who know, and probably we'll get some other crossovers in probably one of the final two episodes that'll lead us into Doctor Strange.
Yep. And we'll just summarize the end of WandaVision for us, so be on the lookout for that.
And it'll be completely wrong.
I think that's it for us tonight. Will, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you?
Yes, you can find me at Will M. Polk, WILLMPOLK. And also, go check out our updated webpage. We did some redesigning of it and more places where you can easily find all of the platforms where our podcast is and all our episodes. So go check it out.
And by we, Will means him, because he does everything. I do very little around here. And
you do the hard part of like pulling everything together for our episodes.
I'm very appreciative. And you can find me on Twitter at SJ Belmont, SJBELMONT. Please follow our crew on Twitter at Scene and Nerd. Friend us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, but most importantly, rate, subscribe, and comment on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Good night, geek out. You're welcome.